We're starting a brand new series we're calling Wreck the Roof. Everybody say Wreck the Roof. Wreck the Roof. We're starting a brand new series in Mark chapter number 2, verses 1 through 12. Let me just read this. I want to get right into the text this morning and got a lot to cover and I want to just share with you. It says this, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And when he preached the word to them, and some of the men came, bringing him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the man, or the mat, and the man, the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you making or thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat and walk?' But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home." And he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. So this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Wouldn't you love to be able to say, "We've never seen anything like this"? So these four guys, here's the setup. Here, Jesus is in, and I want you to notice this, that it says Jesus, they noticed that Jesus was home. How many know Jesus didn't live? He was born in Bethlehem, right? But he was brought up, and he started his public ministry in this little bitty town called Capernaum, right? And so he starts preaching and teaching and doing miracles, and whenever Jesus would gather, there would be a large crowd that come. And so these four guys are bringing this paralyzed guy to meet Jesus, and the place is full. Right? And so here's the deal. Mark doesn't give a whole lot of, his gospels are pretty straightforward, nothing for the facts. Typical guy, nothing for the facts. We don't have any feeling, like it's just the facts, right? And this is how Mark kind of describes it. So we don't know the relationship between these guys and the paralyzed guys. Maybe they played football at Capernaum High School. I don't know. Maybe they were there when the guy got paralyzed in a camel accident. Right? Y'all got to help me out. This is all I got this morning. Okay? Maybe they were just friends or neighbors with a guy who was paralyzed. I don't know what it was, but what we do know is that this guy was desperate. Right? Because listen, how many know if he's paralyzed, he can't walk. He can't take care of himself. He's got to have somebody to help him do everything. Right? Somebody to feed him, take care of him, take him where he needs to go. So his friends decide to take him to see Jesus, and when they get there, it was so full that there was no room to get in. And how many know it would have been easy, and most of us in America would just kind of give up, right? It would have been easy to just say, "You know what? We're not going to worry about this. Like, it's already full." But in verse number 4, it says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and they lowered the man and the mat lying on it. Like, they didn't just stop, they wrecked the roof. Everybody say, wreck the roof. Okay, y'all are weak this morning. One more time, wreck the roof. Right? Like, I love this story because it's crazy, isn't it? Right? Like, you don't go to the brisket house and like, "Oh, it's full." Right? Today it'll be full, right? Because it's all the Christians go to the brisket house, right? Right? And we all go there and it's full. We don't go in like, it's full. Let's go get in through the roof, right? Nobody does that. But this one guy decides to get crazy. And I want you, if you hear nothing else I say today, listen to this. Write this down. Write this on a card. Put it somewhere. Listen, because here's the deal. Like, we've settled, but here's what I know about crazy. If you're not willing to do "this is crazy," you'll never have the "God, this is awesome." Come on, somebody. Help me preach. I said, if you're not willing to do "this is crazy," you're never going to have "God, this is awesome." Like, if you're never going to get out of the boat, you're never going to walk on the water. You're going to read about it. You're going to wish you were at some other church, some other conference, some other place. But listen, can I just tell you, you don't have to go anywhere else. You can say, God, this is crazy, but I'm going all in with you, and you'll see his, God, this is awesome. Right? But we got people, we're reading about crazy people. Oh, man, that was awesome what they did over here. And, man, Brownsville Revival. Do you know how long ago Brownsville was? But we're still riding that wave. Right? We're riding the wave of the last thing. Oh, we used to have revival in Gina, Louisiana, back after the Gina 6. Like, when are we going to have revival today, church? Listen, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. But we got to do the this is crazy. Right? And some of you are like, you're doing good, Pastor. That's good. I'm glad. Right? Because I want the this is awesome of God. Right? And I'm afraid too many of us have settled and we say, well, I'm tired. Well, I guess it wasn't God's will. Man, that's just my luck. Well, I guess it's never going to happen. But there was one guy who said, I know this is crazy. I know this makes no sense. Right? But we're getting him to Jesus. We're going to wreck the roof. Right? Now, I'm not sure, but I bet in a group of four guys, there's probably some different points of view as to what to happen. Right? Maybe one guy is just like many of us. We're just like, let's just go home. We'll come again tomorrow. We'll come again another day. We'll do something else later. Or maybe one of them was like, we can't tear through the roof. Anybody rule followers? We can't go through the roof. This is illegal. Who's going to pay for their roof? Right? That'd probably been me. I'd be like, yo, because every time we do something outreach-wise, I'm like, okay, what's the legal implications now? Right? Like, used to, you just go to youth group, no big deal. Like, I drove with all kinds of crazy people. Now you get sued. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to think through that. Like, I'd have been that guy, right, in the story. But then there's this crazy guy. Instead of saying, go home, or hey, this is illegal, he's like, hey, I know. Let's bring them, and since it's full, and he desperately needs to see Jesus, let's just put a hole in the roof, right? So they have to decide. They have some decisions to make, right? Like, how big of a hole do you need? Like, this guy's on a mat. How many know that's a big hole, right? So they got to get this guy, put him on the roof, right? Get him up to the roof, and then fit him down the hole. And I can only imagine these guys, like, you know, trying to listen to where Jesus was. Because how many know you don't want to drop the paralyzed guy on Jesus' head? So you're just like listening to where, well, it sounds like the volume's over here, so maybe we do here. And like they're figuring it out, right? How are we going to wreck the roof? Right? And then they got this guy who's paralyzed, and I can just imagine, right? They lift him up on the roof, put him down through a hole, and everybody's watching. I would be the guy thinking, sorry. My friends wanted me to see Jesus. It was full. I couldn't do it. I'm paralyzed. Right? Right? Some of you, you won't do it. Like, you won't even come to the altar because you're afraid somebody's going to say something about you. Come on, somebody. This paralyzed guy is in the middle of the crowd. And isn't it true that you have interruptions every time you try to preach the gospel? Isn't that true? I have sometimes screaming kids. Come on, somebody. People getting up and going to get water. Right? One time I was praying at the end of a service. We was in Colorado, and a cattle drive come through. How many know that'll quench the spirit right there? You're like, Lord Jesus, if anybody is in this place who doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and it's done. I'm like, amen, guys, bye. Right? There's interruptions every time you try to preach the gospel, but here's what I know. Like, listen, I've done that, but I've never had anybody come through the roof. So what does Jesus do in this interruption? Verse number 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. I want you to notice that Jesus responded to their faith, not their words. He responded to their actions. Actions. Michelle this morning said, hey, you know what? Like, we need to, like, can I just tell you, like, we do crazy for the LSU Tigers. We do crazy for fishing, hunting, shopping, right? Black Friday shopping. How many know that's not from God? That's crazy, right? You're going to get your $10 your $10 crock pot, right? You're like, ah! Right? And they come to church. Oh, I'm reserved. Listen, you'll never get God's this is awesome until you get God, this is crazy. Right? It's time to start raising your hand. Like, well, I don't understand. Like, it's a sign of surrender, everybody. That's all it is. Right? If anybody's looking at you, they should be looking at you. And you don't have to impress them anyway. You're here for Jesus, not them. Come on, somebody. Right? But notice that Jesus didn't stop and heal the paralyzed man. He didn't stop the service and say, be made well. He stops and says, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that crazy? Right? I don't know about you, but I think there would have probably been an awkward silence. Right? I mean, they brought the guy to be healed. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Right, I think there's some emotions going on in the room. First of all, maybe there was an emotion of disappointment. I wonder if these guys, after hearing Jesus say, your sins are forgiven, were a little bit disappointed. Like Jesus, he has a bigger problem. Like, you see, like he's paralyzed. He can't walk. Like, that's why we brought him. Right? Maybe there was some people in the room, actually we know because of chapter number 2, verses 6 through 7. It says, now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? There were some religious people who were angry. I mean, you know, it's always religious people who are angry. You can't forgive sins. Who do you think you are, right? And then Jesus says in verse number 9, he says, which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and take up your mat and walk? I think Jesus is saying this. I think, and I want you to get this, right? Because we're all about Jesus, heal me. But Jesus is saying this. Listen, I could heal you like I spoke the world into existence, right? I can do whatever I want to. I could heal you. I can just speak the word and do that. But can I just tell you, if I say to you, your sins are forgiven, that's going to cost me my life. Oh, that hashtag, that was good preaching. Did you hear me? Like, Jesus said, hey, I could heal you, but I need you to understand that me saying I forgive you of your sins will cost me my life. Can I just be honest with you today? Like, listen, Jesus' primary concern with this guy was not this guy's body, but his soul. Right? Let me say that again. Jesus' primary concern was not the condition of this guy's body, but the condition of his soul. Listen, healing is awesome. We pray for healing. I believe God's going to heal Tracy. I believe God's can heal. Yeah, we've seen him heal people. Like, it's awesome, right? People who are not supposed to have babies, like, God's good. Like, he's a healer, everybody, right? But can I just tell you, the greatest miracle that happens in the church today is not Christian, yay, somebody got healed, and let me see the miracle. And if we don't see a miracle like we think we ought to, then we're going to somebody else because we want to do that whole thing because we want to see something. The greatest miracle is when somebody says, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, and he does it, everybody. That's the greatest miracle. And we're just like, you know, we want to come across and we want to go to the cool, hip places and like, oh, God, just show me a miracle. I want to see you. I want to see you. And God's like, listen, I want you to be made well, but more than that, I want you to be made saved. I want you to get saved. Right? That's the greatest miracle that we can ever experience, right? Verses 11 through 12 says, I tell you, take up your mat and go home. And he got up and took his mat and walked out in full view of them all, and they were amazed, and they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. There's a whole lot I think we can learn from this story. We're going to break it down over the next few weeks. But I remember, probably all of us can relate to this, but I remember times where I was, in my life, a time where I wasn't physically paralyzed, but how many know a time where you were paralyzed? Like you didn't know Jesus, right? you needed Jesus. And maybe you had some friends growing up and they just believed in you when nobody else believed in you, and they got you to Jesus. How many had somebody invite them to church? Anybody? Like you know, right? And some of us, probably all of us, have sometime at some point in our life been people who were like these religious guys who've forgotten it's the grace of God and not the works that we do that gets us to heaven. Right? They were more concerned. The religious people were always more concerned about tradition than actually meeting people's needs. Can I just challenge us today, when the decisions we make and what we do, are we more concerned about our comfort and our traditions, or are we trying to meet somebody's needs, everybody? Okay, I'm going to do that one more time because I only got one amen over here from Doug. Are we more concerned about doing what we've always done and staying in the boat of comfort financially and every way? And you're like, well, $15,000, that's a little crazy. Listen, we want crazy because we want the awesome of God, everybody. Right? But so many times, like, we play it safe. And this is what we've always done. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. That's brilliant. You think, right? Well, here's my question today, and here's the meat of where we want to go today, and that is, who do you know who's the paralytic in your life? Who do you know who's broken? Who do you know who has pain? Who do you know that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? Who are you willing to wreck the roof for? So I want to just ask three questions or give you three reasons this morning why we need to wreck the roof. Right? And so here's the deal. We're having a holy huddle with our church today, okay? So this is church people, right? And here's the deal. We've got two events coming up. We got Mikey Chesser coming up, and he's going to have an incredible testimony. He'll be here coming up at the 29th, I think, of this month, the last day of this month, or last Sunday of the month. And then we've got Easter coming up. And I want to just ask you a question. Who are you willing to wreck the roof for? Why do we need to wreck the roof? Let me give you three reasons. First of all, people are broken and hurting. Isn't that right? These friends had compassion because they saw their friend paralyzed. And we may not know anybody who's paralyzed physically, but how many know we have friends who are hurting and who are broken? Like, I'll just be honest with you. Like, I'm broken sometimes, even seeing sometimes church people who, like, well, I don't know what I can do, and I don't know. And they're broken and they're hurting. And I'm like, listen, here's the deal. You got to start. Like, you can't just hear the word. You've actually got to do it. Right? And so many people are broken and they're hurting. I don't know what to do with my marriage, and I don't know what to do with my children, and I don't know what to do with my job, and I don't know what to do with this. Can I just tell you, there are people who are broken and hurting, and they need to see, listen, not sanctified losers. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, we don't need to see people who are just... Can I just say this to you? Listen, some of us, can I just be honest with you? Like, we think, oh, it's just a season. It's not a season, everybody. It's a fight. Can I just tell you that it's not a season? Some of you have been in a season for 5 years, and God says, listen, it's not a fight, or it's not a season, it's a fight. You're going to fight every day. We fight the good fight of faith. We keep on keeping on. We keep on walking in faith. We keep on believing. We keep on seeing God do miracles. Right? We're like, oh, it's just a season. No, it's not. It's a fight every day. Right? It's a fight every day. We know people who are hurting. Their marriage is a wreck. And I see people, and some of you, like, you go to school and you see kids who are junior high and they're cutting themselves. And they're taking on anxiety and stuff. I was talking the other day with my girls, and I was talking, like, God never intended for y'all to have to carry all of this stuff. Right? You got all this stuff, and we got girls who are, like, starving themselves and bulimic because I'm not skinny enough. And it doesn't matter how skinny, like, you can be a rail, and it's like, it's never enough. Right? Because what the world says is successful, and what the world's, and they're broken and they're hurting, and they just want somebody to love them just because, listen, if I'm in my joggers and got my fat pants on, like, Jesus still loves me.
Kind of,
that's what they need. Here's how to put your makeup on. They need somebody to know, you know what? Jesus says you're enough. And if he's good, if you're good, like, he loves you, everybody.
Right? But we got people doing crazy stuff. Right? Trying to be good enough. They're broken and they're hurting, right?
Got people in our family battling depression and anxiety. People in our community, everybody's like, well, I don't understand why anybody would do drugs and alcohol, because they're hurting and they're broken. That's exactly, but for the grace of God, we do the exact same thing. Oh, no, I wouldn't. Don't ever say what you won't do. Right? They're just trying to escape. They're trying to numb the pain. And can I just tell you, the good news is, church, we are the hope of the world. Come on, somebody. Listen, so that's why, you're like, well, Pastor, you try to get us all excited. Absolutely, because listen, who wants to go to a place where, hey, we're the hope of the world? Victory in Jesus, I think. Yeah, my Savior forever. He saved, he bought me, sought me, bought me. I can't remember that hymn, which is unfortunately like a lot of people. Come on, somebody. Come to my dead church. God never does anything. I don't expect anything. Listen, church, we are the hope of the world. Like, we are God's plan. And people who are broken, who are hurting, who are going to be over here in the next few weeks, and they're going to come. And listen, I'm talking to the church. Like, we need to lift our hands high, because he is the King of Kings. And he does reign. And he does heal. And he does deliver. And he does, come on, somebody. He does bring about restoration. Come on, somebody.
We're just like, I don't understand why nobody wants to come. Because you don't even want to come.
Because we've been so long far removed from our dead and trespasses and sin that we think we're so good that we don't really need Jesus anymore. He's just an add-on. I don't know about you. I still know I was lost. I was lost, church. I was the worst kind, because I was one of those religious people. I played the deal. I knew how to manipulate. I knew how to do what I needed to do to get what I wanted, which was a date. Don't come look at me like that. I went to church. Where are you going to find a Christian person? You don't go to a bar to find a Christian. So I'm like, I'm going into the youth group. Missionary dating. Come on, somebody. Y'all are way too holy for this preacher. I just did. So here's what I want to do this morning. We have just over 3,000 people in Gina proper in the city limits. We have more than that around in our communities. Can we just do this in the weeks leading up to Easter? Can you get your phone out? That's not something normally a pastor says. But I want you to get your phone out. I want you to find the alarm. And I want you to add an alarm for 3:00. 3:00. I'm doing it with you. But make sure I don't do fast. 3:00 p.m. Nobody wants to wake up at 3:00 a.m. And I want you to save that alarm and just remember to wreck the roof. And what do you mean? I mean, every day at 3:00 from now until the day, the Easter service, that you actually, that alarm reminds you to pray for the people who are lost and hurting that you know in your life, that we're going to pray for, that God's, and I'm going to give you a little bit more instruction in just a moment, right? But to pray for the lost people, because can I just tell you, that's what Jesus asked us to do, right? That's our part. Here's the second thing. The reason we need to wreck the roof, number two, is because people are lost. Isaiah chapter number 53, verse number 6 says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We've left God's plan to follow our own
Isn't that true in our culture? Like, we think we know better than God. We're going to do our own thing, live our own way. Can I just say something? I'm probably going to make some people mad. But can I just be honest with you? Like, people are not pre-Christian. Oh, they just don't know Jesus yet. They're not even unsaved. They're lost. I posted this last week, and I just would like to remind us today that, listen, sin doesn't make you bad. Romans 3:23, sin makes you dead. Right? Oh, I just want to get people into church and be good people. No. No, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you are dead in your trespasses and sin. That's what, come on, somebody. Is that what the Word of God says? Why are you so urgent today, Pastor? Because people are dying and going to hell. Matt Chandler said this. He says, it's better to never have had children. It's better to never hold my wife. It's better to never have been able to drive a car. It's better to be paralyzed and never feeling anything from the neck down. It's better to have an incurable disease than it is to be outside the kingdom of God. Do we really believe that? Do you really believe that? Why do we need to wreck the roof? Because people are dying going to hell. Do you understand that? Like, they're just not getting, well, they're having a bad year. They don't get to go to Disney this year. No, the eternity separated from God. I believe that we could get a little bit of passion and a little bit of conviction and say, you know what, I'm going to wreck the roofs of some people who need Jesus. Because that's the one job he's given us to do. Not build a building, not to do all this stuff, not to raise money necessarily. Like, but listen, he wants us to reach lost people. Here's number three. Worship team, you guys can go ahead and come. Why do we need to wreck the roof? Because we're the only hope. I'd like to call PJ. Call Pastor Jeff. Let's ask some. We can mess up Siri. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 18 says this, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. Who? Pastor, I thought that's your job. No. No, it's our job to reconcile people to Jesus. Right? Listen, we can't change anybody. We can't save anybody. We can't heal anybody. But we can invite people. And we can pray. And we can share the gospel. And we can share our story with people. Here's what studies show. Studies show that 87% of people who come to Jesus are introduced to him by a friend. Right? How many of you ever lost anything valuable? Anybody? Like, for instance, this telephone. How many know that's it costs some money? Right? How many know when you lose something valuable to you, you are laser focused on finding it? Isn't that right? Like, if I lost my phone, I wouldn't go into my dining room and say, oh, well, at least I got a kitchen table. Do you do that? No. You're freaking out until you find your phone. Come on, somebody. Like, some of you can't even go to the restroom without your phone, right? I don't know what you're going to do, but never mind. I don't want to know. And you're worried about coronavirus. Really? Serious. Just so you know what's worse than coronavirus? Not knowing Jesus is worse than coronavirus. But if I lost my phone, I'll tell you what I would do, and every one of you, so don't look at me all holy, I would do anything, like I'm stopping my life to find what was lost. If it's valuable to me. And I would just like to remind us today that people are valuable to God. He says this, he'll say, I'll leave the 99 and go after the one. Because what's valuable, like, we search until we find it. And I'm just asking us over these next few weeks to say, you know what? I'm getting, listen, as valuable as my precious phone is to me, right? Oh, I got to have my phone. there's people matter more. Right? People matter more. Matter than your, more than your vacation coming up. Matter more than your new car. Matter more than your new spouse. New, like, it matter. Knowing Jesus matters more than anything, church. So I'm just asking us today to make a commitment. To just be a church who says, yo, over these next few weeks, I'm going to be laser focused on reaching lost people who don't know Jesus.